Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show, the fastest hour in radio. And it is time to zero in. We're going to take a closer look at several teams within the Big 12 Conference. Up first will be the Oklahoma Sooners, who in 2012 finished with a 10-3 record, 8-1 in the Big 12, of course, co-champions. And joining us from Oklahoma City on the Mercer Well Service line, the Sports Animal's Bob Berry Jr., who's going to help us dissect and figure out some of the biggest questions heading into 2013 for the Oklahoma Sooners. And I think, Bobby, the most immediate question that comes to my mind is the QB position. Who is going to replace Landry Jones? We understand the Sooners have three quality candidates, but it is now down to a two-man race between Blake Bell and Trevor Knight.
Well, it is, Elissa, and actually we thought it was originally going to be Blake Bell all along. That, you know how coaches are, that, oh, it's an open competition, but you always have one that you think is going to be the guy. Blake Bell is the guy that played part of that special package they created for him 2 years ago called the Bell Dozer, because he's just a little guy, 6'6", 204 pounds, and he was pretty successful running for short yardage touchdowns, so naturally the knock on him was, at least in Sooner fans' eyes, was, can this kid throw the football? Well, Bob Stoops has bristled about that every time he's asked. He said, what do you think we recruited him for in the first place? I mean, he passed for between 3,000 and 4,000 yards a year in high school and in Kansas, so Bob Stoops is adamant about his passing ability. And actually, Blake Bell has been very good 2 years in a row passing in the spring game, albeit, you know, basically an inter-squad deal. But so I think he'll be okay. Trevor Knight is the one we really don't know much about because he's from San Antonio. Everybody raves about him, his athleticism and what he's able to do. And since they're so buttoned up in Norman and locked up, you never get to see any practices or anything. We haven't really gotten a chance to see him. He played a little bit in the spring game. He looked good, but all of them looked good in the spring game. As you mentioned, there was a third component in the race named Kendall Thompson, who is the son of former OU quarterback Charles Thompson. And Kendall looked very good in the preseason in the spring. He's a lefty, very mobile, very quick foot, but also a nice passer. So I think they had three that can play. Now I know they have two that can play. Kendall Thompson will be back in about a month after a broken foot. But I fully expect Blake Bell to be the starting quarterback when they play Louisiana Monroe on August 31st.
You bring up a number of great points, Bobby, talking about Blake Bell, 6'6", so imposing, 263. He was impressive last year, the Belldozer, but do you think he's perhaps one of the most physical quarterbacks in all of college football?
Well, if there's very many bigger than him, that scares me because, like I said, the size, and he broke up a 55-yard touchdown run, I think, against Baylor last year, and he really got there in a hurry, so he's fast, and that's what his teammates have said, too, is that he'll surprise you with his distance running. It's not just 3 yards in a cloud of dust and get into the end zone that way, but he can scoot when he has to. So, like I said, if there's bigger players more physical than him, then the quarterback position nationwide is getting out of control size-wise.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You're listening to the familiar voice of Bob Berry Jr. with KFOR Television out of Oklahoma City. You can also listen to him on the radio airwaves at the Sports Animal in OKC. And I guess I'm just wondering, you know, why the hesitation with naming a quarterback? Because I'm certainly looking from the receiver's perspective. You know, it takes time to make that adjustment in terms of, you know, timing and reads. Why the hesitation?
Oh, I don't know. I think just a little gamesmanship. And then, you know, you want to keep your team fresh and keep those guys that you have behind the starter feeling like they have a chance to win the job. In this day and age, Alyssa, it's way different than when you were a superstar basketball player at the University of Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
It seems like nowadays, in all seriousness, these kids, if you know, if they find out early they're not playing, they transfer. I mean, Oklahoma State, I know we're going to talk about the Cowboys here in a little bit, but their starter from a year ago, you know, has already transferred, and we were just shocked by that. So I think that's probably what it is as much as anything, is you don't want to tip your hand if you can help it to keep kids around and keep them interested and keep them feel like they're fighting for a job, even if you know as a staff and in your meetings who the clear-cut number ones are going to be.
Since we are on topic about things offensively for Oklahoma, I want to hear a little bit about Jalen Saunders. How has he looked? Because he certainly is one of the Big 12 best.
I think he could be one of the nation's best in terms of productivity because you know they're going to throw it to him a million times. Jalen, the transfer from Fresno State, who just kind of fell out of the sky into OU's hands last year, and thank goodness for it, or they probably wouldn't have won as many games. Same thing with Justin Brown, you know, who played at OU last year after the Penn State debacle. He just felt like he had to get out of there and finish off his college career somewhere. So that was two totally unexpected contributors to OU's offense last year. Well, now Jalen Saunders is back. He's a little guy, but I really compare him to Ryan Broyles in terms of his effectiveness and how he can go across the middle, make people miss, make the tough catches, go up and get it, even though he's little. So he'll be the number one guy, I would think. And then there's another guy that we've been waiting to see, Alyssa, for 2 years now, named Trey McTwyer.
Okay, yeah.
From Texas, who came in a year ago. Everybody said he had a brilliant spring game a year ago, and everybody thought, oh, he's going to be fantastic. He couldn't hardly get on the field once these two transfers I just talked about got busy and got into the rotation. So McTwyer has been a little frustrated. They still feel like he has a ton of talent, so maybe we'll get to see him emerge. Then there's Sterling Shepard, who played last year as a true freshman, the son of former OU star Derek Shepard, and he's going to be much improved, I think, a good player. And then there's a JUCO guy that came in last year named LaColton Bester that didn't play at all really last year, but we kept hearing raves about him in practice and practice before the bowl game and all of that, but he was really coming on and could be effective. And then in the spring, Bob Stoops mentioned him first when he was talking about receivers. So LaColton Bester is another name you might hear at wideout. So I think they're going to be fine there. I'd just kind of like to see the Sooners incorporate the tight end again. Once was an effective weapon in their offense with guys like Jermaine Gresham and Trent Smith.
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't had an effective tight end in a couple of years anyway since James Hanna played that position. He, of course, is now playing for the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see if Josh Heupel and Jay Norvell, the co-offensive coordinators, incorporate the tight end more in the offense this year.
We are talking Sooner football this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Bob Berry Jr. And talk to us about as far as the depth that they have at the offensive line. How are they looking this year?
I think it's always a position of concern, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Eichert is a fantastic lineman. He's played every position since he's been there. Of course, OU lost the fourth overall pick, Lane Johnson, in the NFL draft, went to the Philadelphia Eagles. So they'll have some guys there. They'll have some size. They'll have some inexperience. But they must remain healthy. It's not like they're two or three deep at every position across the offensive line. That's why so many guys have had to change positions. Eichert will play a few years ago, start the season at guard, and then he'd play center when somebody gets hurt, and then he'd go to the other side and play the other guard position. So I think depth is a concern there, but they feel like they'll be better. Running back is going to be interesting. Alyssa, Damian Williams showed some signs of brilliance last year. He had like a 95-yard touchdown run against Texas out of the backfield, but then they have some other guys coming in. Keith Ford, the true freshman from Texas they like. Alex Ross is a player from Jenks, Oklahoma, that they like that they haven't seen yet that sat out last year. And then Brennan Clay, who really was just kind of a guy on this team forever, got good at the end of last year. He was forced into action because of injuries, forced to be the main guy in the Iowa State game in Ames. He rushed for 150-something yards and basically carried him to a win and scored the winning touchdown in the overtime game against Oklahoma State. So Brennan Clay says, don't forget about me. And then there's a senior named Roy Finch, who, you know,
oh yes,
kind of been in and out of the doghouse, really. That's the only way you can describe it. He just hasn't been able to get on the field much. The coaches said that he's had some issues in practice, and yet he's by far OU's most excitable offensive player. Make you miss, small, darts around, catches it. He gets you up out of your seat. So Roy Finch is going to, I think, contribute a lot this year.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Bob Berry Jr. And, you know, in the Open, I mentioned Oklahoma in 2012 finished 10-3, and that is not good enough for Sooner fans. Of course, they set the bar very, very high each and every year. A bit of some coaching carousel spinning just a bit. Coach Stoops shaking things up. There were some new assistants, some additions, and subtractions. Who did they add? Who did they take away?
Yeah, it kind of validated us a little bit because we knew that 10-3 wasn't good enough. You could just tell, by the way, the season flattened out at the end, even though they had beaten Oklahoma State in their regular season finale and what was a huge win, but they just got drilled by Johnny Manziel and A&M in the Cotton Bowl and gave up a ton of yards. And so we asked Bob Stoops immediately after that game, was this 10-3 as good as the 10-3 a season ago? He said, absolutely, even better. And then months later, he fired three coaches, and he just never does that. So he sent Jackie Shipp on his way, one of the original members of his staff, who was the defensive line coach, and Jackie has landed at Arizona State working with Todd Graham now. And he hired a guy named Jerry Montgomery from Michigan, a youngster, 33 years old, supposedly a good coach, a real good recruiter. We'll see on all these guys. We don't know until we actually see him in action. Jay Boulware was hired from Auburn to coach the tight ends and special teams assignments at Oklahoma. And then they hired Bill Beedenbow from Big 12 rival West Virginia off Dana Holgerson's staff to take over the offensive line as James Patton left and went to Indiana. And and another coach, Bruce Kittle, left too. That was actually Bob Stoops' best personal friend. He was an offensive line coach, and it just didn't work out. So first time Stoops has ever really, you know, had to shake up his coaching staff, bringing in three new guys, supposedly a lot more energy, supposedly better recruiters, because Oklahoma has not done a very good job of evaluating and developing, and I think that's been reflective on the field. So we'll see how those guys do as coaches.
Bobby, have you had a chance to talk to Coach Stoops? I mean, is he optimistic and excited about the upcoming season?
Well, he always is. You know, we haven't had a whole lot of discussion. We never do. Like I said, they might as well have some barbed wire up down there in Norman. Get a whole lot out of him. So he says he just feels like they have to be better defensively. And his brother Mike Stoops is, you know, in his second stint running the defense after 7 years as head coach at Arizona. Mike was clearly embarrassed, by the way. Oh, you got thrashed defensively more than once last year. Gave up 778 yards in a victory in Morgantown against West Virginia. I was there. I just couldn't even believe the numbers I was seeing. It was like a pinball machine. So they've got to be better defensively. Their secondary, I think, will be. Their defensive line, maybe. They just got a junior college player they've been waiting on to get clear the academic hurdle, and he finally has a guy named Quincy Russell, who arrived in camp yesterday from Trinity Valley Junior College. I'm thinking he's probably going to start from day one.
Yeah, 6'3", 311.
Yeah, their linebackers are question marks, so we'll see. But I guess really what I'm saying is they can't be much worse than they were a year ago by Oklahoma standards, so they had better be better.
So I understand two defensive ends that had gone down, DJ Ward and Michael?
Yeah, DJ Ward, and I kind of feel bad for that kid. He was the top recruit in all of the state of Oklahoma 2 years ago at Lawton High School, and then his family moved to the Oklahoma City area, so he transferred to Douglas High School in Oklahoma City and went through some practices there, and then his family moved again into the Moore, Oklahoma area. So DJ never played a day for Douglas. Then he tried to get a special waiver from the governing body of high school sports to play at Southmore High School, which is where Kendall Thompson, the quarterback, went to school, and that never happened. So he ended up sitting out. He didn't play at all in what would have been his senior year, and yet he was the top recruit in the state. So he committed to Oklahoma. So obviously he enrolled early at OU and got in there as an early entry, played a little bit in the spring at defensive end. They were excited about him. He played in the red-white game, and they thought, hey, this guy has a chance. And then he just, the other day, ruptured his spleen somehow. Had to have his spleen removed. So now he's out for 6 weeks, and Bob Stoops clearly frustrated talking about him. Not mad at the kid by any means, but just everybody would like to see this kid who hasn't played now in 2 years get back on the field, see what he can do. So he's out. They've lost a couple of other defensive ends, and yet that's what I mean. They haven't had depth across either line, offensive line or defensive line, in 2 or 3 years now, and I think they're shaky there again in terms of numbers.
You have to wonder what kind of adjustments they'll make so that the defense can be more consistent in generating those big plays, because they certainly have lost a lot of talent coming into the season, some excellent hitters up front.
Oh, and they give up huge plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's a schematic thing in some ways. Last year they lined up wrong. They were more dependent on their secondary last year. Their linebackers really weren't as involved as Oklahoma linebackers have been in the past, so supposedly they've tweaked some things there, but they just have to play better. They just have to be where they're supposed to be, make the tackles when you have a chance, and not just get gashed play after play, game after game. I mean, they gave up 43 points a game last year in their last five games,
Wow. Counting
the bowl game, and yet they won three of them. So, I mean, what does that say for the Big 12? I don't know.
Well, here in just a moment, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma State Cowboys. We're going to head into Stillwater, Oklahoma. But just quickly, you know, there was a wonderful article by Jason Kersey in the Oklahoman, and he just talked about how fast-paced offenses have changed the expectations for defense. You know, really just addressing the tempo of the game and how much it has changed. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, that's what I mean. You know, you can look at the Big 12 and say, what an awful defensive league. And then about the time you say that, you say, wow, what a great offensive league, though. I mean, Heisman Trophy winners, 1,000-yard rushers, 1,000-yard receivers. I think it's somewhere in between. I think the Big 12 has definitely been down defensively. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, 2 years ago, the first player taken in the NFL draft defensively from the Big 12 conference was in the third round, Jamel Fleming, a defensive back at OU. He was the first defensive player from the entire league that was taken. So you have to say that the talent level has been down all across the Big 12 on the defensive side of the scrimmage line, but you have to think these programs, which are still pretty good, pretty tradition-rich, are going to find some guys and develop some guys. I think Oklahoma State has a pair of defensive tackles this year named Calvin Barnett and James Castleman that will be very good. I mean, you know, have a chance to be dominant in this league. TCU has a player, Devontae Fields, who's going to miss the first game against LSU. He's suspended, but he's going to be very good. He's the preseason defensive player of the year. So there are some there. There's some secondary guys there. So they should be better as a league. But, yeah, man, when you're spreading it out and you have five or six offenses in the league averaging 40 points a game and 550, 600 yards a game, that'll stress out any defensive coordinator.
Well, let's move ahead. Let's talk about the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Very big expectation on Mike Gundy's Cowboys. Preseason favorite, what, to win the Big 12. Why are they projected at the top of the Big 12?
I just think they've got it rolling, I think they're so confident. They have a lot of people back. Yes, they lost some people, key positions, but Mike Gundy has been, you know, has shown now for a consistent length of time. He's in his ninth year that these guys can fill in. Now, he's also made some coaching changes. He's got two new coordinators.
That's right.
Bill Young was fired as defensive coordinator at OSU last year. That surprised some, and yet some others still were not because they got gassed like everybody else in the Big 12. So they promoted Glenn Spencer from the linebackers coach to defensive coordinator. They've changed a few things schematically, so we'll see how they line up. But, I think they'll be strong across the defensive front. Their linebackers on the edges will be very good with Ryan Simmons and Sean Lewis. In the middle, Caleb Levy returns. He would be maybe the question mark on that defense in the middle, but their secondary should be real good, I think. Justin Gilbert is a player who almost went pro 2 years ago, and then he played so poorly last year. I think he made a very wise decision in deciding to come back to OSU to prove to everybody that last season was a fluke. So he's a very good corner. Daytwon Lowe is a veteran safety. They've got that back there, Shamil Gary. And they've got a guy named Tyler Patman. One of these special things that we see nowadays, like Russell Wilson and certain players, where you go to one school and you graduate and then you can transfer out and go to another school and play 1 year. Well, Tyler Patman was a 3-year starter in the Big 12 at Kansas, but he graduated and transferred to OSU. He's going to play 1 year. He's eligible immediately, and I think he's going to start at OSU as a secondary guy, so they're kind of excited about him. Then on offense, the new coordinator is Mike Yurcich, and Mike Gundy, the head coach, really got out the dice and rolled them big on this one. This guy comes from Pittsburgh University, Pennsylvania. I think it's Division II, maybe even Division III.
But this is his fourth offensive coordinator in 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look where everybody's gone. They've gone on to be head coaches. Todd Monken leaves to go be head coach at Southern Miss. Dana Holgorsen left before that to be head coach at West Virginia. Larry Fedora left before that to be head coach at Southern Miss. And now he's the head coach at North Carolina. So, yeah, if Mike Yurcich comes in and does anything these guys have done, you know, the sky's the limit. This guy got a salary bump from $50,000 at Shippensburg, and I think he probably had to sweep up and drive some kids home to $400,000 at OSU as their offensive coordinator. So huge move up for him. But Mike said he came across him at a convention. He met him, talked to him. Guy's very innovative offensively. His offenses at Shippensburg were just rolling it up and doing that high, you know, tempo, fast pace, spreading around stuff that everybody's doing with a few new wrinkles. So Mike Gundy's pretty excited about him, and the kids have reacted very well to him.
Well, he will have to be innovative because what the Cowboys face Mississippi State on August 31st, that's going to be a tough challenge.
I think so, but yet, again, they're experienced at the right, their offensive line. They have the best, he might be the best assistant coach in the Big 12, and his name's Joe Wickline. He always manages to get just guys on OSU's offensive line that stay together as a group, that stay healthy and play their you-know-what off. And this is the same case this year. And they have produced some all-stars. I mean, you know, Russell Okung was a first-round pick and starts in the NFL for the Seattle Seahawks, and he was a star at OSU years ago. So Wickline is a master at getting these guys grouped together to stay healthy, interchangeable in a few ways. So their offensive line will be fine. Their wideouts and tight ends will be good. They really do have a group of 8 or 9 that Mike Gundy likes a lot. Blake Jackson's a tight end that passes the eye test. He really looks good in a uniform. He just needs to hang on to the football. He had the dropsies at times last year, but they'll have Tracy Moore back at wideout. He has potential to be a 1,000-yard guy. Their best receiver is Josh Stewart, a fabulous player from Denton, Texas, who runs the inside slot. He can catch the ball. He can run it on reverses. I mean, he can return games. Josh Stewart might be their most valuable player on offense. But at quarterback, like I said, Wes Lunt was chosen to start last year, straight out of high school.
Incredible.
Chester, Illinois.
Yeah.
Had his moments, passed for 450-some-odd yards, and then lost to Arizona early in the year. Was really good. Then got hurt, and then once he got hurt, these other guys they had just flew by him, and he couldn't get back into the lineup. And when he did, he got dinged up again at K-State. So Westmont really kind of came into this spring third string behind Clint Chelf, who was third string a year ago and emerged as a starter once all these injuries settle out. And the best quarterback they might have is their second-teamer, J.W. Walsh from Denton, Texas, who was a high school teammate of Josh Stewart. He's really effective at running and passing. So I think OSU, they're going to start Clint Chelf would be my guess against Mississippi State because he started in the heart of Dallas Bowl when the Cowboys just destroyed Purdue 58-14 last year. I think Chelf will start, but I guarantee you J.W. Walsh will play. He might play as much as half of every game. He's that good and that effective. So they're going to be fine without Wes Lunt, but it's just surprising, again, in that day and age we're talking about, where a kid was starting a year ago, had a chance to compete for a starting spot this year, and said, nah, you know what, I think I'll get out of here, and he's transferred to Illinois. So that was a blow. Joseph Randall has left. He was a very effective runner and pass catcher out of the backfield. He's playing for the Dallas Cowboys now. So Jeremy Smith, who backed up and shared time with Joseph Randall the last several years as a senior, it's going to be his game to carry the ball. Desmond Rowland's the backup. They hope some freshmen emerge there in the backfield, Rennie Childs and Corian Webster and some other guys, but they're going to be loaded on offense again because they're really talented.
Always good. Bobby, it's so great to catch up with you, and I understand you've been playing a little bit hurt. You had a foot problem. Is that true?
It's just old age, E. I can still step out behind the three-point line and fire.
Oh, man.
Don't go in, but I will not be driving to the rim to finish anymore. I'm just going to stay outside. But
you remember those good old days of the dead air ball when we'd go play?
I just won't ever go inside on you. Your elbows are sharp. Enjoy talking to you.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.